Attachment to an idea, when something's going wrong, it's not going to work. Detachment, let's try. Let's try and see what happens. Attachment, when I make a million, then I will do blah, blah, blah. Detached, I'm going to be happy. We're going to do this now.
Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Today on the podcast, we have Amber McHugh. She went from being a single mom at the age of 18 to owning three companies that allow her to work from anywhere in the world with her family. Every day, she is grateful for starting her businesses and allowing herself to create the kinds that would allow her to not always have to be on. She has a background in corporate consulting and studied at the Johns Hopkins Organizational Development MBA program, which really lends itself well to the strategic consulting she does with modern CEOs at AmberMcHugh.com. Amber grew her first business from a side hustle to a multi-million dollar company that operated in more than 26 cities around the U.S. She also purchased her first company, an online education company, in 2022. In today's conversation, we talk about this concept of being right on time. And I went into this conversation thinking that it was going to be about how you're always arriving at where you should, right on time. But this conversation ended up being so much more than that. There is a depth to this conversation that is going to impact me for a very long time. And I am so grateful that you get to hear it because it is going to give you a new opportunity to ground yourself, to shift your thinking, to shift your language, and to see more opportunities than you have ever before. Let's dive in. Hey, Amber, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm so happy to see your shiny face. Like, we've known each other a very long time. Definitely most of that time has been from a distance. You've been living on the other side of the planet a very long time. And I'm excited to make sure we incorporate that conversation into today. But I'd love, before we jump into this concept, that we really give people some context. Tell me a little bit about you, how you started your entrepreneur journey and how it got you to where you are today.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, it literally got me to physically where I am today and allowed us to live and work from anywhere. You mentioned I was on the other side, way far away, and I'm currently living and working with my family in West Africa, very specifically Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, which is in the Ivory Coast, right above Ghana. And my business started over 14 years ago when my husband and I were realizing, like, okay, we might want to live abroad at some point. And we suspected it would be his career that would ultimately take us abroad. And I had started a business journey lightly But we got really intentional around making sure it would be something that we could take anywhere. And as you think about the business side of it, man, I was still working a full-time job. I was in an MBA program and I picked up a camera on the side. And the camera side hustle became the first full-time business. And then I realized I really love business and business strategy. So I continued to also build alongside that a small business consulting company.
Well, 14 years is a long time running, and I know it's had a ton of ups and downs and left and right. And obviously, when you've been in business that long, you take big leaps of faith and pivot and do different things along the way. Do you feel like there's been any big pivotal moments for you that really shaped a new direction you may have took?
Oh my gosh, what a question. You know, there are so many. And I would say one of the biggest was when my business partner in the photography business, Joanna, said to me, "Amber, I think this is working. I think this could be our job, like our J-O-B." And we were like, wait a second. We don't want to create a job for ourselves. So we looked at, all right, what does this look like? How do we want to design this business and build this business? And then very similarly, in the same time, other entrepreneurial colleagues said to me, "Man, don't you ever just wish you could clone yourself?" And that was also like a moment of, wait a second, I know how to clone myself. I know how to maximize productivity and multiply results. I've been doing that for a long time in corporate. So that I pulled into the photography business, and then I pulled that into consulting. And there are just so many moments like that where you're open. You got to like stay open. And I call these right on time moments where you're like, wait. There's something, there's a nudge, there's a calling, there's something I'm supposed to be looking for, there's something that's brewing. So I'm always looking for those signs. And those are a couple that came very early on in the journey. But yes, 14 years later, there are a lot.
14 years later. I do remember specifically that transition though, where I built what I thought was a business, but it was a job. It was literally, I figured out how to make my clients my bosses, and they were telling me what they needed from me. And then I was reporting back to them and giving them all the assets that we had contracted out and da-da-da-da-da. But there was a very distinct transition from working for my clients and then working for myself and working to build an actual company. Do you feel like there was anything that helped you make that transition?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking about how in the photography business, we absolutely had clients like, "Oh, you don't like this? Let's re-edit it." Like we were back and forth. We're like, "Man, we've got to streamline this." And what immediately came to mind while you were speaking is that we really productized that offer. And that on the photography side and the consulting side, right across the board, when you can think in terms of deliverables and commitments, versus the time and the back and forth and it's funny, my daughter Harper, she's like, "Mom, you're your own boss." And I still in my mind think, "Oh no, but my clients really," like that is still who I, my team, right? And my clients, I want to be very happy. But we've productized it. So the boss terminology, you're like, "Oh, who am I reporting to now?" I feel like that's totally gone away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally gone for me too. And it's very strange because you wake up one day and you're like, wait a second, everything about what I have to do today is self-inflicted. Like it's exactly what I told myself I have to do. I invented where I am. This business wouldn't exist without what's going on in my brain. That's weird. But I also think we can constantly feel this outside pressure to perform and be a certain way and get to where you're supposed to be faster or whatever. And I also know, as someone who's done a lot of coaching and consulting similar to you, that we can say a lot of things to our clients and be really grounded in what we're saying to them and be really bad at doing it for ourselves. And so I know you have a story about this. And so I would love if you kind of took us back to that moment where you continued to tell your clients, like, it's okay, you're right on time. And what did you realize in that moment?
Oh my gosh. I realized it was about a year and a half to 2 years of me saying exactly that to my clients. It's all right. We're right on time. You're right on time. You're right on time. You cannot be late for your destiny. And this is where you are going. And I realized actually when I was sitting on the floor, when my, at the time, 4-year-old was throwing a massive temper tantrum. And I was thinking, oh man, this is it. I now also need to practice so much more patience than I have been, so much more surrendering, because I cannot control this situation. Her little 4-year-old body was just freaking out for some reason. And I was so embarrassed because at the time we were preparing to move overseas and we were living in an apartment and everyone could hear, I am sure. Everyone above us, below us, next door, all around, like, oh my gosh, my husband was worried somebody was going to call the cops. I'm like, and I decided in that moment, you know what? You gift this idea of right on time to people all the time. And now you've got to take this lesson for yourself and just be present and surrender and practice patience and be in this moment with Harper. And from that moment on, actually, a lot of things happen coming out of that. You know, when you ask for a lesson, you're like, okay, I take it back. Uncle, like, no more. That was one of those moments. I'm like, right on time. Here we go. You need to practice patience and surrender, Amber. And it came fast and furious after that.
Yeah, I think it's so often that we have those experiences where it's one small thing we notice, but then suddenly, as soon as we notice it, we feel surrounded by it. You know, I feel like it always happens to me when I'm thinking about it. Actually, I've only bought a car once, so I don't know what I'm talking about here. But you think, I'm going to buy a car. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at all of the cars on the road. And you're like, ooh, I like this kind of car. And then suddenly, you've never seen this car before. And then suddenly, it's literally in every parking lot. It's in every corner store. And you're like, wait, like, was this really around me all the time? And I know in our business, it's the same thing. We often are so in a bubble and blinded by what's in our surroundings and constantly taking that as pressure instead of an opportunity to, like, be. And so how do you get into that? Because, like, I know I'm the kind of person that always has striven. That's not a word. Strives for more. Strive. There we go. Yes. I like a challenge. I love to feel like I'm accomplishing something and I've set big goals for myself. And the concept of feeling right on time is not something I've personally incorporated very well. So what would you say to me if I was your client?
Okay. Well, from a right on time perspective, it would be starting to practice surrender and detachment from the outcomes. And the first thing I do when I am feeling like attached to an outcome and I'm feeling like the pressure to get somewhere and do something and accomplish and be something for someone is I stand with my arms wide open and literally change my physical being. And it's not a mindset. It causes a mindset shift, but it's not something you have to mentally do. But it's a physical shift in your being that starts to prompt a different feeling in your body that's like, oh, wait, okay. Like, even just doing this now, instead of being closed off and sitting here sweating a little, worried, you know, okay, how are we doing? Like, what, you know, I'm just sitting here sweating because I'm in Africa and it's hot here, whatever the reason is. But man, the second I open up my body, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Am I being open to the possibility that magic is brewing here? And I can't be late. I can't be wrong. And, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, like, even being late to a meeting, that striving, that a little bit of workaholicism in my past, even that would cause me stress. Like, wait a second. Right on time.
Right on time. Well, I think the changing your physical body and posture is such a huge thing. And I think it's often something that I forget is so effective. And to kind of add to what you're saying a little bit, one of my favorite like body posture changes when I'm feeling specifically anxious or like holding on to things that are making, like, I might have a physical reaction, like my blood pressure is going up, my heart is racing, like my head is spinning, all the thoughts are swirling. You're supposed to shake your body. And so like, if you stand up and like wiggle your shoulders and like shimmy a little bit and like jump up and down and like just maybe even turn on some music and dance, you will be shocked how effective it is grounding. And if you can do this on grass or dirt, like even sand, literally touching the earth, it's so much better. But we naturally, when we are stressed, we close ourselves off. And it's not just like a mental thing. Like you're saying, you will hunch over, you will close in, you'll maybe even clench your fists or like cross your arms and physically opening yourself up. Like even just sitting here, I feel so much better like opening my chest. I'm like, why don't we do that? We just need to like take a deep breath sometimes to start. Like I know that's not the whole thing. I realize it's one step, but it's a solid beginning. So what do we do after we surrender and let that in?
Okay, this is where I want to differentiate between the things that we can control and the things we cannot control. Because there are some things we see very clearly, right? We have a vision to get where we want to be going in our business. We can create the action plan to get there. And we can even align a timeline around it, even though I'm saying right on time. I'm a planner. You know this. So we're still going to have a plan in place for this. But it's not, we also know on the flip side, things are not always going to go to schedule. Things are not always going to go to plan. In fact, very rarely are they going according to schedule or plan. So in those cases, right? All right. You have to be ready for whatever comes up. And I want to invite us to shift our perspective from, wait a second, it's not working. It's not going to plan. This worked for how many years, but it's not working anymore. Yeah. Maybe, but what opportunity does this create for us? And again, you can see my arms are wide open. And for those of you that are listening, I'm saying this thinking, ma'am, what opportunity does this create? And are you allowing room for magic? So yes, plan, create, have the vision, right? Map out an ideal timeline, but listen. And this is where the surrender and the practicing patience, like, wait, it's not going as fast as I want. Okay, why not? Okay, what else? Why isn't it going as fast as you want? What's brewing that is supposed to come up in this space between? So it's an allowing. It's like, you know, even if you're late for the airport, I'm never late for the airport anymore. I never say I'm late for the airport. We are never late. But the idea that, oh no, okay, why? What's coming up? And when you start asking the question why and looking for those possibilities that you have opened yourself up to, magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Magic, truly. I can't tell you how often the closing myself off has prevented me from opportunities. And I went into the beginning of this year with a very distinct plan that I was going to stop like forcing something out of me and let time passed through me instead. And I heard this really interesting option, or not option, but this way of thinking where you literally, time is only ever present and time will continue to only ever be present, but time comes at you. You do not run towards it because you can't. You can't. So why are we so forcing of trying to get somewhere that is literally impossible to get to? You have to let it come to you. And obviously there's action steps, but the openness to it is so huge. It made a big difference for me. And all of a sudden it was less, okay, well, I need to launch this or do this specific product or have this specific plan. And I went back to a state that is really strange. Like when you've scaled past $1 million, the thought of like not knowing your launch schedule or when something's coming out or what new products are brewing, or like other CEOs would look at you with four eyes and be like, what are you freaking talking about? But I'm not in it to scale a $20 million company. Like that's not my plan. I want to love my life. And if I want to love my life, I got to stop stressing myself out over an arbitrary timeline that I put in place. And so,
and this is where that counterbalance comes in. You said it so well, like, I want to love my life. And where do I want to grow to? I can hold in the vision. This is something I'm really playing with drastically right now because I am creating a new vision for where I'm going to be in 10 years. And I haven't been there before. I haven't done that before. This new vision, I'm like, oh, I don't exactly know how to be that person. And you know, when I was starting my business, and maybe the same for you, I'd hear a lot, be today the person you want to be. Then I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm still in this space between. I don't know how to be her yet. So it's that awkward space where I have to be open to the possibility, to your point, that I don't know everything. And part of it for me comes down to, I really want to love my life. And you can hold in the same space. We're going to make great money. And it's interesting. Like maybe it is 20 million. Maybe it's 5 million for some people. Maybe it's one. Maybe it's 100 million. Whatever anyone's number is, it's okay. Hold on to that. But don't get so attached to it that those other things that matter to you go by the wayside and you do this at all costs. Because that's when I think we see breakdowns in values, in life, in family relationships, you know, all the things.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, and I specifically remember this was before my company had hit $1 million and annualized revenue. We had done well more than a million over a long period of time. But I specifically like kept holding on to this belief that the $1 million had to come from the business. And the moment I allowed myself to be like, what if it's not this business? What if it's somewhere else in my life? What else am I closing myself off to that is a huge potential for me? That changed everything. And I got way more help in areas of like tax strategy and long-term financial planning and investments and all of those things. And suddenly the goal for me became, I'm not worried about my business making $1 million. How can I make sure that I am building personal assets so that I can retire earlier. Because that's really the only reason I want the money in the first place. I just want to work less. You know, I want to not have to worry about money. I want to not have to stress about where it's coming from. And so I think sometimes letting go of how is a big piece of it.
Yep. That's so good. I just pulled up some examples of what attachment, like what you just described was like, I'm attached to, but what if I could get that in a different way, which is more of a detached mindset? Can I share a couple of these examples?
Yes, please do.
Okay, cool. So attachment to an idea, when something's going wrong, it's not going to work. Detachment, let's try. Let's try and see what happens. Attachment, when I make a million, then I will do blah, blah, blah. Detached, I'm going to be happy. We're going to do this now. It's going to be so upsetting. I'm going to be so upset with myself if I don't reach this goal versus I'm learning every step of the way. If it doesn't go according to plan, I don't know what I'll do. Plans change. This is going to be a fun ride. Facebook's going to ruin my launch. I've heard this before. With these new circumstances, what else are we going to try to accomplish this goal? You need me. These are some sales messaging things. You need me. You've got this under control. Why do you think you need my help? If they don't hire me, I don't know what I'll do. I'm not sure if I can help you, actually. How do you see that I can help you? And this is a hiring and a team thing. I'm the only one that can do this versus my team is awesome. Can I trust them to do this? Will I trust them to do this? So those flips and across the board from sales conversations to hiring, team, everything, it fits in.
It's a shift in perspective. It's a shift in language, but you can't just say it out loud. You also have to think that way. And I think it can be hard to get there, but you mentioned the feeling like you have to be the person you're going to be, and you don't actually know what she looks like, and you don't know her yet. Well, I want you to remember your adolescence a little bit, okay? We all went through puberty. We all remember being like, you know, if you identify as a woman, you went through a period of your life where you wanted to look like a woman, go from a child to looking like a woman. And you try on different clothes and you try different makeup and you try your hair different ways. And sometimes you look ridiculous. Sometimes you sound ridiculous. Sometimes other people who've been here longer and have already walked this journey look down on you and they're like, what the hell are you doing? But you still go through the process. And your business is not that much different, truly. You don't know what it's going to look like, but you do have to try stuff on. And so I think the trying it on is an opportunity that we often forget. It's like, okay, maybe that marketing strategy didn't work. Well, what do we want to try on next? Or in addition to, or instead of, whatever. Like, we get to decide. And I don't know. For me, that's been really helpful.
That's so good. The other thing that I invite people to do as well is, I love that you use the word try it on, because we also have something called a try it on visualization. That, okay,
let's do it.
And you embody in your mind, who am I? Let's name it. Name something you want to try in the business. Let's say somebody wants to start a podcast. Okay, how big do I want my podcast to be? Do I want it to be interviews? I see myself, actually, I did this when I was starting my podcast. I'm like, podcast interviews. Okay, I'm living in Ethiopia. I'm doing podcast interviews. It's 10 p.m. at night because that's the only time they're available. I don't like it. And then I'm like, okay, we're not going to start with interviews. So it's literally walking yourself through, what could my life look like? Let me just try that on and play with it a little in my head and then sort through it. And it is as simple as that. But then I get to decisions like that. And I'm so glad you brought this up because I'm going through some big decisions this week. I'm going to be working some try it on visualizations the rest of the week. So thank you.
Yeah, I think even thinking through it a little bit, because often we're like, oh, I want this. But have you ever really sat down to think about why you want it? if you can't answer why, then I need you to stop being so worried about that one particular thing. You know, having a destination is only as powerful as why you want to get there anyway. And so I know I've had to reground myself in why many times throughout this business, and it's been really pivotal. Okay, so we've talked about surrendering. We've talked about kind of like deconstructing this concept and shifting your language. What else do we need to be thinking about around this right on time concept?
This is a big one. And this is one of the most challenging, is gifting the idea of right on time to other people. And I shared that that's where my journey started. And you mentioned, right, okay, but you can't just say it. You've got to practice it. You got to live it. You got to like be open to possibilities. And when people show up to a meeting late, and you're like, oh gosh, that's a little annoying. We have to review this all again. Right on time, right on time. Okay, this isn't working. And somebody else did something, maybe on the team, maybe they're someone that you've contracted some services to. You're like, okay. And it's not to the extent of, you know, things being done poorly or improperly or against the contract, right? But it's really what is brewing here. They were late. I wonder if something's going on. They're not usually late. Let me extend a little bit of compassion and follow up later and find out, you doing okay? Is everything all right? Or this contract that we agreed to is not going as planned. Hey, this is what we agreed upon. I know something good's brewing here, but can you tell me what our plan is? Like just opening up the idea. And again, it's going back to possibility. Why? Why isn't this going well? Why isn't this going as I planned? Maybe they were late because they just got off the phone with someone who's got the next big idea. They're like dying to get here to tell you, but oh, someone stopped them in the hall and they got to the office. I'm pointing to my hall in my house. My kids would have stopped me. Then the coffee pot was low. Like life is happening, but extending this to other people. And that's one way to start to really practice it and check your thoughts.
Yeah, I think this tends to be a concept that's much harder for people who identify with the anxious attachment style, because we're always assuming things about our surroundings. And so a very recent example of doing exactly what you just mentioned is I had a one-on-one agency client. We took our last website contract at the end of last year, and I was reaching out to her and she was completely non-responsive. We had already signed the contract. She had already made a payment, but she wasn't like taking the next steps. And I'm like, what is going on? And so, you know, old Abby would have just immediately been like, she hates me. She regrets her decision. She doesn't want to move forward. She's going to ask for a refund, all of this stuff. And instead, I reached out compassionately and I said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm actually starting to be worried about you. Like, are you okay? She immediately responded and she said, I'm in the hospital. My dad's in ICU and I don't know if he's going to make it. And like, if I hadn't compassionately reached out and just said, I just need you to say one word back to me. Like, I want to know you're okay. I wouldn't have this relationship that I have with this client now. And we made accommodations. We put her project on pause and like it's taken longer to complete, and that's okay. I much preferred her taking that time. And it's almost like practicing being more human. Like it's not about us. Like everyone is living an existence that's surrounded by themselves. They're not judging you as often as you think. They're not, you know, assuming things about you as often as you think. They're worried about their own life and their own set of circumstances and their own day. And I think we can practice that, and you will be surprised at what comes out of responding in that way. Gosh, and she lost her dad and it's been a really hard year for her. And it's every day I worry. So know that it can create really powerful relationships in your life. Okay. So I think there's an element of all of this that requires resilience, and that we, if we're pushed and we want and we go and take and all of this stuff, and we're trying to rewire ourselves to be grounded and open and aware and let things flow to us and speak about opportunities in a new light, there are times when that's not easy. And like, how do you keep going? How do you view resilience and staying motivated during those times of uncertainty?
Ooh, man, the hard season we walked into, Harper was on the floor and I said, okay, I got to practice this right on time thing. And fast forward, that was in the fall, November, fast forward to March, and all of our household goods were on a van headed to the port to be shipped somewhere. And we were left with 8 suitcases in an empty apartment. And my husband called and he said, we're not moving yet. I was like, no. We already moved our stuff. It's gone. They're gone. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, no. We were supposed to be going to Ethiopia on March 13th. It was March 8th. The van was packed. March 13th. We were supposed to be on the airplane. I'm like, nope. 8 months later, 15 moves later, we landed in Ethiopia. And that whole time, like, I only had one meltdown.
Only one? I would have been melting down every day. How did you survive?
Right on time. I literally, patience, surrender, practice. This is good. There's magic coming. Then, and there was. It was magical. It was such a beautiful journey that we got to live out. A little stressful at times. But man, I learned so much about myself and my family and the process and what we could accomplish and what I could do without, you know, with hopping around 15 times. And then fast forward to COVID, right? 2020, everybody was dealing with, oh my gosh, we evacuated Ethiopia, landed in Chicago. My husband did not come with us. He stayed in Ethiopia. And there was a moment where I'm like, are you going to be able to get back? Because they were shutting down flights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, okay, there is a golden egg in here somewhere. And the golden egg was massive. It ended up being a massive relationship that my husband built with someone because he stayed in Ethiopia. My husband stayed in Ethiopia. He got very sick. He needed some extra support getting evacuated, and that person changed our lives in immeasurable ways. But would I have counted any of that as good? But I reminded myself every moment, something good is coming. I haven't talked to my husband in days. I'm not able to get a hold of him. What is happening? Something good's coming. Something good is coming. Something good is coming. And honestly, right now, I'm wondering, I'm making decisions around my business. It does not feel great. Like, what is it? So it's a constant balancing and a reminder, like, okay, I'm not quitting. We're not quitting. Can I change things? Might I quit some things in my life? Like, am I absolutely, yeah, I'm going to change things. I'm going to revisit things. I'm going to shift things. I'm going to move things. But you've always got to remind yourself, okay, it's coming. It's coming. And you have to, like, it's almost like if you're in the savannah and you're looking out, you're constantly surveying the horizon, watching for the cheetahs coming. Highly recommend a safari if anyone has not been on one yet, and it's on your bucket list. Let me know. I'll give you some recommendations. But you're just constantly like, where is the opportunity? And instead of looking for the predator, you're looking for the potential. There's something here that is coming for me. And so it's being very open, being very alert, being very curious. And then, yeah, you got to take good care of yourself. Like, that's where I'm like, okay, we got to sleep. We got to get to I bought a sauna bag in that season. So I was like, I can go to the sauna anytime I want. Lots of self-care.
Yeah. And I think it's important to point out that there are still going to be things in your life that are just terrible, that are just like irreparable, that will cause damage, that will be traumatic, that you're like, how am I supposed to find the good in that? I don't necessarily know if you find good in everything. I want to make sure we're clear on that. You're not going to find good in everything. But that doesn't mean that that journey doesn't impact who you are and how you show up in the world. And, you know, being someone who, without getting into it, there are some things that have happened in my family that have made me a different human. And it has also made me so much more compassionate to an entire group of people that I wouldn't have otherwise had any relationship with. It doesn't change how terrible the thing was. It doesn't change that that was hard or inappropriate or whatever. But I get an opportunity to be connected to people that need my support. And it doesn't make it worth it. That's not what I'm saying either.
Yeah, there's some not even things, about like, that. Live that. No.
Would I go back in time and do that ever again? Absolutely not. but I am going to take a lesson, and I am going to take an opportunity, and I am going to continue to move forward. And I think there's a lot of power in this, and especially when you're feeling challenged or down or frustrated. There's so much good available to you. It may not be from where you think it's going to happen from.
It may not be where you think it's going to happen from. And that's the balance, right? Like, there is good coming. There has to be. Like, I just believe, like, it has to be. If there is something bad happening, it has to get better. I don't know when. I might be sitting in this pile of you know what for I don't know how long because I can't control that. But I'm going to stay present to every possible opportunity. I'm going to take damn good care of myself while I'm in this terrible place. And you said something. You said there's a power that comes with it. And I think amongst that surrender and that patience, you're not giving up power. I think you're absolutely
right. No, you gain power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Amber, this has been a really powerful conversation, and I know for me, definitely going to affect how I think about things for months, if not years to come. So thank you so much for being here. I know people are going to really take this conversation and be moved, and I know people are going to want an opportunity to connect with you. So where can they find you online?
I so appreciate you and this conversation. You can find me on Instagram at Amber McHugh. My website's Amber McHugh. And I have a meditation we prepared for everyone, which anybody can grab at ambermcHugh.com/right-on-time.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Truly, today was wonderful.
Thank you. You too.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the co-op. Our Creative Template Shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics. We make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode. Send it to a friend who needs to hear it and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.